إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Well, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. For Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no associates or partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave servant and His messenger. We'd like to begin this evening in the 10th in our series of lectures concerning the sharh or explanation of lum'at al-i'tiqad al-hadi ila sabil al-rashad by al-imam Abu Muhammad Abdul ibn Ahmed ibn Muhammad ibn Qudama rahimahullah. By first briefly mentioning some of the points which we discussed in the previous lecture, and we have been covering in these lectures primarily those issues related to the tawheed of al-asma wa sifat, يعني the uniqueness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His exclusive right to be described or to be named by the most perfect names and characteristics. And we mentioned a number of ayats from Quran and hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam which informed us or discussed or mentioned some of the characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the proofs concerning them and the differences of opinion or the sayings of those who went astray or who deviated from the correct understanding or the correct methodology and way of the Ahl Sunnah wa Jama'ah. In the previous lecture we discussed the last of the sifat of Allah that we will discuss, Kalam Allah, the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here Al-Imam Ibn Qudama mentions in points number 21 through 25 that concerning the speech of Allah, that Allah's speaking being a sifa or a characteristic of His, he says that one of the characteristics of Allah is that He speaks with kalam qadim, yani with speech, ancient speech, or that from the very beginning or always, that He always was described with the characteristic of speaking. And He calls whoever He wills amongst His creatures to hear His speech. Musa, peace be upon him, alayhi salam, heard him speak without there being any intermediary between him and Allah. The angel Jibreel or Gabriel, peace be upon him, also heard it, as well as whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills from amongst His angels and His messengers. We also believe, he says in point number 22, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will speak to the believers in the hereafter. On the day of judgment or the day of resurrection, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will speak to the believers and they will speak to him. And then he mentions some of the ayahs from the Quran that Allah spoke to Musa, and that Allah said to Musa, I have chosen you above men by my messages and my speaking, and so on. Some of the proofs here, Al-Imam Ibn Qudama mentioned concerning the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke and that He speaks and that He will speak whenever He wills, to whomever He wills, with whatever speech He wants to speak. When we said, or he mentioned some hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that one from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, when Allah speaks by revelation, the people or the inhabitants of the heavens hear His voice. This is recorded mawquf, or as a saying of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, and it's also reported marfu'an, meaning that it is attributed or ascribed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This evening, inshallah, we would like to continue where we left off at point number 26, and it is a continuation of the previous chapter. It is a continuation of the sifa, or the characteristic of Allah, al-kalam, or speaking. And here, this chapter is entitled Al-Qur'an Kalamullah. Al-Imam Ibn Qudamah rahimahullah has affirmed through evidences both from the Qur'an and from the Sunnah that one of the characteristics of Allah is that He speaks. Allah hears, Allah sees, Allah ascends above His throne and descends to the lowest heaven in the last third of the night. Allah is pleased with those who obey Him, and Allah is angry with those who disobey Him, and so on. Of the characteristics of Allah is that He speaks. And of the speech of Allah is the Qur'an. Here Al-Imam Ibn Qudamah says in point number 26, وَمِنْ كَلَامِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ الْقُرْآنَ الْعَظِيمِ. That of the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the great Qur'an. وَهُوَ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ الْمُبِينِ. And it is the clear book of Allah. The Qur'an is the clear book of Allah. وَحَبْلُهُ الْمَتِينِ. And it is the strong, His strong rope. And that which the believers may hold on to. وَصِرَاتُهُ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. And it is His straight path. The Qur'an is also described as the straight path. The path, if someone wants to know the path, how to travel on the road, they will follow the Qur'an. وَتَنْزِيلُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And it is a revelation that is sent down from the Lord of the worlds. All of these are descriptions of the Qur'an. Al-Qur'an al-Azim, the great Qur'an, كتاب الله المبين, the clear book of Allah, وحبله المتين, the strong, His strong rope, وصراطه المستقيم, His straight path, وتنزيل رب العالمين, that which is sent down or revealed from the Lord of the worlds. Then Imam Ibn Qudamah رحمه الله says, نزل به الروح الأمين, that the trustworthy spirit has descended with it, يعني that is Gabriel, the angel Jibril alayhi salam, descended from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this revelation of Al-Quran, ala qalbi sayyid al-mursaleen bi lisanin arabiyyin mubeen munazzil ghayra maqlooq minhu bada'a wa ilayhi ya'ud. That the angel Jibril descended from the heavens with this revelation of Al-Quran upon the heart of the master, the leader of the messengers, in clear Arabic language. The Qur'an is revealed in clear Arabic language. And it is munazzil, or munazzal, غير مخلوق. It is that which has been sent down, غير مخلوق, and it is not created. And many of the scholars of Islam say concerning the Qur'an that of its descriptions is that it is كلام الله غير مخلوق. That we should describe it with these two things without separating them. When we say it is the كلام of Allah, the speech of Allah, we should also affirm that it is not created. We don't accept the idea that it's the speech of Allah and Allah created it. It is the speech of Allah and it is not created. It is not part of Allah's creation. It is His speech. It is one of His characteristics. مِنْهُ بَدَأَ وَإِلَيْهِ يَعُودْ. It began or came forth from Him, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it will also return to Him. In point number 27, Imam Ibn Qudamah says, concerning the Qur'an, further description of the Qur'an and some of its characteristics, وَهُوَ صُور مُحْكَمَات. It consists of clear and decisive chapters. صُور مُحْكَمَات. وَآيَات بَيِّنَات. And clear verses. وَحُرُوف وَكَلِمَات. Letters and words. The Qur'an consists of surahs, chapters, verses, letters, words. This is the breakdown of the parts of Qur'an. مَنْ قَرَعَهُ فَأَعْرَبَهُ فَلَهُ بِكُلِّ حَرْفٍ عَشْرَ حَسَنَاتٍ. And whoever reads the Qur'an and makes it clear, يعني pronounces it clearly and properly, then he will have, for every letter that he reads or that she reads, he will get 10 حسنات, 10 good deeds. For every letter, when you recite the Qur'an, for every letter and every word, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the reward of 10 good deeds for each letter. لَهُ أَوَّلٌ وَآخِرٌ. It has a beginning and it has an ending, that is the Qur'an. وأجزاء وأبعاد, and it has sections and parts. It is يعني divided into sections and parts. متلون بالألسنة. It is recited on the tongues. It, the Quran, the Book of Allah, the speech of Allah, it is متلو. It is recited on the tongues of human beings. يعني when we recite the Quran, that recitation, it is the speech of Allah. The Quran. When we recite the Quran, the recitation, it is the speech of Allah. محفوظٌ في الصدور. It is preserved, protected or memorized in the hearts of human beings. That which is memorized by the human beings of Quran, it is the speech of Allah. مسموعٌ بالآذان. It is heard by the ears. يعني when someone recites the Quran and we hear it with our ears, that which we hear, it is the speech of Allah. مَكْتُوبٌ فِي المصاحف. It is written in the books, the مصاحف, the Qur'an, between the covers of the مصاحف. That which is written, it is the speech of Allah. يعني here, Imam Ibn Qudamah is saying that what we recite, مَتْلُو بِالْأَلْسِنَةِ, it is the speech of Allah. And what we memorize in our hearts, مَحْفُوب فِي الصُّدُورِ, it is the speech of Allah. And what we hear when it is recited, مَسْمُوْ بِالْأَذَان, it is the speech of Allah. And what we write, what has been written of Qur'an, مَكْتُوب فِي الْمَصَاحِفِ, it is also the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فِي مُحْكَمْ وَمُتَشَابِهِ. يعني it contains some ayats which are clear and decisive, which can only be understood in one way. And likewise it contains other ayats which are unclear to some people, and which might possibly have more than one meaning. وَنَاسِخٌ وَمَنْسُوخٌ. And it also contains verses which abrogate or cancel others. And it contains verses منسوخ, which are abrogated or cancelled. يعني there are verses in the Quran which abrogate others, and there are verses in the Quran which are abrogated. وَخَاسٌ وَعَامٌ. And it also contains verses which are special or specific, dealing with specific areas, limiting or specifying certain rules or laws. And there are also verses which are عام, general, which are general, يعني including or all-inclusive, including many things. وَأَمْرٌ وَنَهْيٌ. And also it contains verses which have commands and verses which have prohibitions. Here Imam Ibn Qudamah mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the Quran, Surah Fussilat, chapter 41, verse 42. Concerning the Quran, the speech of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا يأتيه الباطل من بين يديه ولا من خلفه. That no falsehood can come to it from before it or from behind it. Falsehood cannot approach the Quran. تنزيلٌ من حكيم حميد. It is a revelation, or that which is sent down from the all-wise حكيم, and the one who is praiseworthy, حميد. Also the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Isra, chapter 17, verse 88. قل لئن اجتمعت الإنس والجن على أن يأتوا بمثل هذا القرآن لا يأتون بمثله ولو كان بعضهم لبعض ظهيرا. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that even if the men, the mankind and jinn, if they all came together, collected themselves together with the intention of producing or bringing مثل هذا القرآن, that which is similar or equal to this Quran, if all of the men and jinn came together to bring or to produce something like this Quran, لا يأتون بمثله, they would never be able to produce or to bring anything like it. Because whatever they bring would be the speech of the creatures, and the Quran is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَوْ كَانَ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ ظَهِيرًا. Even if some of them were helping others or backing up one another in order to produce something similar to the Quran, they would never be able to do it. Here the Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, Hafidhahullah, in a sharp explanation of these points, says, Al-Qawl fi al-Qur'an. What do we say about the Qur'an? We say that the noble Qur'an is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is sent down, revealed, غير مخلوق, not created. It came from Allah, it began from Him, and it will return to Him in the end. Because it is the speech of Allah. It is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, its letters as well as its meanings. The letters that the Qur'an is written with, or that it was spoken with, those letters are the speech of Allah, and the meanings that they compose are also the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The proof that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah, or from amongst the proofs, and the proofs are many, from amongst the proofs that the Qur'an is actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's speech, is the saying of Allah in Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 6, وَإِنْ أَحَدٍ مِّنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ اِسْتَجَارَكَ فَأَجِرْهُ حَتَّى يَسْمَعْ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ. But if any one of the mushrikeen, the pagans, sought asylum or refuge with you, then give them refuge. And you give them protection. If they came amongst the Muslims and asked for protection, give them protection. حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ. Until they hear the speech of Allah. What speech of Allah are they going to hear? The Qur'an. This is clear that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah. Give them refuge until they hear Allah's message, Allah's revelation. حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ. Until they hear the speech of Allah. The second proof that the Shaykh mentions is the proof that the Qur'an is munazzal, that it is sent down, that it is something sent down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is mentioned in Surah Al-Furqan, chapter 25, verse 1, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي نَزَّلَ الْفُرْقَانَ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ. Blessed is the one who نَزَّلَ الْفُرْقَانَ, who sent down, who revealed the Furqan. Al-Furqan, the criterion, is one of the names by which the Qur'an is referred to. Blessed is the one who sent down or revealed the Furqan, that means the Qur'an, عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ, upon his slave, his servant, his messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The proof that the Qur'an is not created, غير مخلوق, is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 7, verse 54, أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ تبارك الله رب العالمين. Isn't it so that for Allah is the khalq, the creation, and the amr, the command? When we hear the amr, it refers to the Quran. Blessed is Allah, the Lord of the world. The proof here that is indicated in this ayah that the Quran is not creation is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to the amr separate from the khalq. The creation, whatever Allah created, is belonging to Him, it is for Him, and also there is some other matter for Him, it is al-amr. And in another place in the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us to know that the Qur'an is from the amr of Allah, it is from the command of Allah. And in this ayah, أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ. Isn't it so that for Allah is the creation as well as the command? It is clear that the command is separate from the creation. The creation is one thing and the command is something else. أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ, the creation, وَالْأَمْرُ, and also the command. So the creation is one thing, the command is another thing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, in Surah Ash-Shura, chapter 42, verse 52, that which makes us to know that the Qur'an, which He revealed, is from the Amr, not from the creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah, وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا. And likewise, so also, أَوْحَيْنَا, we have revealed to you, إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا, an inspiration or a revelation, مِنْ أَمْرِنَا, from our command. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us to know that what He has sent down, what He has revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is an inspiration, a revelation, min amrina, yani from His command. So the Qur'an is from the command of Allah, and in the previous ayah it's clear that the command is separate from the creation, and this is one of the proofs that the Qur'an is from the command of Allah, it is not a creation, it is not something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. Also, another proof of this is in Surah At-Talaq, chapter 65, verse 5, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ذَلِكَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ أَنْزَلَهُ إِلَيْكُمْ. That is the amr of Allah, the command of Allah, أَنْزَلَهُ إِلَيْكُمْ. He has sent it down or revealed it to you. يعني, what Allah sent down or revealed, it is the amr of Allah, meaning the Quran. The Quran is the Amr of Allah, and the Amr, the command, is separate from the creation. Also, of the proofs, that the Quran is not created, is that the speech of Allah is a sifa. It is a characteristic of Allah's characteristics. It is one of His characteristics. Speech is a characteristic of Allah, and Allah's characteristics are not created. Allah's characteristics, His descriptions, are part of Him, and nothing of Allah is created. Nothing of Allah is created. Also, the proof, the Shaykh mentions the proof for the saying of Al-Imam Ibn Qudama, minhu bada'a. The proof that the Quran came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it began from Him, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has attributed the speech to Himself. And speech is not attributed except to the one that it originally came from. Yani the one who originally spoke those words is the one that you would attribute it to, not to the one who passed it on from them. If somebody heard a speaker speaking, and they recorded what that person said and then repeated those words, the words would be attributed to the original speaker, not to the one who heard it and passed it on to others. And this is the proof that the Quran is the speech of Allah, because Allah said it is His speech. حَتَّى يَسْمَى كَلَامَ اللَّهِ. He didn't attribute that speech to the angel Jibreel or to anyone else, but He attributed to Himself, which means that that speech originally started from Him. The speech that was delivered by the angel Jibreel, the revelation which was delivered by the angel Jibreel to the Prophet ﷺ, it originally came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself, and that's why He called it His speech, Kalamullah. The speech that, or the proof that the Qur'an will return to Him, that the Qur'an in the end would return to Allah, just as it began from Him, it would return to Him, is that which has been reported in the traditions. Here the Shaykh mentions a hadith. It is أنه يرفع من المصاحف والصدور في آخر الزمان, that the Quran would be raised up or taken up from the mushaf, the written copies of Quran, and it would also be removed from the chest or the hearts of the people in the last days. This hadith actually there's another hadith concerning this matter which is actually more clear, and it is that which has been reported from Hudhayfa, marfu'an, attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That hadith is reported in the Sunan of Ibn Majah and in the Mustadrak of Hakim, who said that it is sahih, it is authentic according to the conditions of Al-Imam Muslim. And Al-Imam al-Zahabi, rahimahullah, also agreed with Al-Hakim in that judgment or that statement. And likewise, Shaykh Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani, rahimahullah, in his book Silsila al-Ahadith al-Sahiha, hadith number 87, he said it is as they have said. Yani as Al-Imam Hakim and Al-Imam al-Zahabi said, that hadith is sahih on the condition of Al-Imam Muslim. It is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا يسري أو لا يسري على كتاب الله عز وجل في ليلة فلا يبقى في الأرض منه آية. يعني that it would take place, that what would happen to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one night is that it would be taken up. فلا يبقى في الأرض منه آية, and not even one ayah, one verse of the Quran would remain in the earth. يعني it would be removed. The masahif would be removed, and it would be removed from the hearts of the people in the last days to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from where it began. Yani the Quran, it is the speech of Allah, it is sent down or revealed from Him, it is not created, it began from Him, and it will return to Him, whether it came as recitation, or we heard it, or we read it, or we write it, all of it is referred to, and it is in reality the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here Al-Imam Ibn Qudamah says in point number 28, وَهَذَا هُوَ الْكِتَابَ الْعَرَبِي الَّذِي قَالَ فِيهِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. And this is the Arabic book which the disbelievers said concerning it. The disbelievers speaking about the Quran, that book was revealed in Arabic. The disbelievers said, as mentioned in the Quran in Surah Al-Sab'ah chapter 34, verse 31, لَنْ نُؤْمِنَ بِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. This being said, we will never, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Those who disbelieve said, لَنْ نُؤْمِنَ بهذا القرآن. We will never believe in this Quran. That Quran that they are speaking about, obviously, is the book that was revealed in Arabic language that was presented to them. They said we will never believe in it. It was a book that was revealed, and it was presented to them when da'wah was made to them, and those who disbelieved said that we will never believe in it. Some of them said, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran in Surah Al-Mudathir, chapter 74, verse 25, إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا قَوْلُ الْبَشَرِ. But verily this is no more than the speech of human beings, speech of a human being. They said that when the Quran was revealed to the Prophet ﷺ, that he was getting it from someone. Someone was teaching these words to him, and that it was no more than the speech of a human being. It was human speech. That's what they accused him of. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered them by saying, سَأُسْلِيهِ سَقَرْ. The one who said such, that the Quran is the speech of human beings, while it is in reality the speech of the creator of human beings. Whoever said so, that the Quran is the speech of human beings, Allah said that he would cast them into the hellfire. Because what they have said is kufr. They have called the speech of Allah the speech of human beings. Some of the disbelievers called the Quran or referred to the Quran as shi'r, poetry. They said it was no more than poetry. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered them in Surah Yasin, chapter 36, verse 69, وَمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ شِعْرًا. That we have not taught him poetry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he didn't teach his prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, poetry. وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ. And it is not fitting that he should come to the people with poetry. He came with divine revelation, not poetry. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ وَقُرْآنٌ مُبِينٌ. It is no more, or it is in reality ذِكْرٌ, a reminder, and it is قُرْآنٌ مُبِينٌ, a clear recitation, a clear recital. That which the Prophet ﷺ brought, it is not poetry, it is قُرْآنٌ مُبِينٌ, ذِكْرٌ وَقُرْآنٌ مُبِينٌ. It is a reminder and the clear recitation. So here the Shaykh says that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala denied or negated the Qur'an being poetry and affirmed that in fact it is a recital, Qur'anan, then there remains no unclarity or doubt to the one who possesses the least amount of intellect that the Qur'an that is referred to in all of these places, it is in fact the Arabic book which contains words and letters and verses. Because were it not so, if it didn't contain words and verses and letters, they would not have been able to make a claim that it was poetry. Because poetry consists of words. If they claimed that it was poetry, then for sure the Quran was indeed words, in order for them to at least be able to make their false claim. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala negated it being poetry and confirmed it being revelation from himself. Then Al-Imam Ibn Qudamah goes on in point number 29 to mention the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 23, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِّمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَى عَبَدِنَا. He is addressing the disbelievers saying that if you are in doubt concerning what we have revealed to our servants, if you are in doubt concerning مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبَدِنَا, what we have sent down upon our servant, فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّنْ مِثْلِي, then bring or produce a chapter similar or like it. Bring just one chapter similar to that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought to the people. وَدْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, and bring your witnesses or helpers other than Allah, and to help you to produce a chapter, one chapter like the Quran, إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, if you are indeed truthful. Yani, if they were truthful in their claim that the Quran is not divine revelation, then let them meet the challenge of producing one chapter, like any chapter, even the smallest chapter of the Quran, three or four verses, which only a few words, containing only a few words. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenged them to produce even one little chapter similar or equal to the Quran. And they were unable to meet the challenge until today, after 1400 years. Here the Shaykh says that it is not possible and it is not expected that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would challenge them to bring or to produce the likeness of something which is unknown and it is not possible for the intellect to know. Yani the Quran obviously was something that was known to the people. It was a book that they saw, they heard, and they read, and it was a reality that they knew about, and they were able to understand it, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenged them to produce something similar to it or equal to it. In point number 30, Al-Imam Ibn Qudamah rahimahullah says, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Yunus, chapter 10, verse 15, وَإِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُنَا بَيِّنَاتٍ, that if or when our clear verses are recited to them, قَالَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا اِعْتِي بِقُرْآنٍ غَيْرِ هَذَا أَوْ بَدِّلْهُ. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when the clear verses of the Quran are recited to them, those who have no hope of the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani those who disbelieve, who don't believe that there is a day of judgment, who don't believe that there is a day of resurrection, who don't believe that they are going to stand and give account to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they said, الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا, those who have no hope of the meeting with us, who don't believe that they will be called to account, they said, اِئْتِي بِقُرْآنٍ غَيْرِ هَذَا, bring a Qur'an, bring a recital or a recitation or a reading other than this one, bring us something else. أَوْ بَدِّلْهُ, or replace it, bring another one in place of it. Yani here, this is also a confirmation that the Qur'an was something that was recited and it was known to them. They said, bring us a different recital other than this one, or replace it, bring a replacement for it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ مَا يَكُونُ لِي, yani Allah told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to them, قُلْ مَا يَكُونُ لِي أَنْ أُبَدِّلَهُ مِنْ تِلْقَاءِ نَفْسِي, that it is not right, it is not possible or permissible that I may replace it and bring something from myself. I don't have the right to bring anything from myself. إِنْ أَتَّبِعُوا إِلَّا مَا يُوحَى إِلَيَّ إِنِّي أَخَافُ إِنْ أَصَيْتُ رَبِّي عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ, so I only follow that which has been revealed to me, and I fear that if I disobey my Lord, a punishment that will take place on a great day. Yani the Prophet ﷺ here admitted that he only follows that which has been revealed to him, and he doesn't have the ability to bring something else or to replace it. It is that which is revealed to him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here in this verse, Allah affirms that the Quran consists of ayat. وَإِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُنَا, if it is revealed to them, or when it is revealed to them, our ayat, then they said, bring something else. So here is a confirmation that the Qur'an consists of ayats or verses that are recited or that were recited to the people. In point number 31, Al-Imam Ibn Qudamah says, or he mentioned the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Anqabut, chapter 29, verse 49, بَلْ هُوَ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ فِي صُدُورِ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ. Nay, it is, yani the Qur'an, آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ, it is clear verses. فِي صُدُورِ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ, and it is in the heart of those people who have been given knowledge. يعني here some of the scholars of tafsir said that these clear ayat, ayatun bayyinat, it is proofs of the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those proofs were known to the Ahl Kitab, the people before, the Christians and Jews, because in their scriptures that were revealed to them, the prophecy of the coming of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last of the prophets and messengers, was mentioned. Here, the mention that these ayats are in the heart, في صدور الذين أوتوا العلم, in the heart of those who are given knowledge. Also the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, chapter 56, verse 77 through 79, concerning the Qur'an, إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ, that verily it is a noble recital, في كتاب مكنون, and it is in a well-guarded or preserved book, لا يمسه إلا المطهرون, and no one touches it except those who are purified. And the scholars differed with so many different opinions concerning the meaning of المطهرون. In any case, the most correct opinion is that here it is referring to Allah المحفوظ. يعني إنه لقرآن كريم, verily it is the noble Quran, في كتاب مكنون, that is, the Qur'an is in a preserved or guarded tablet, meaning Allah al-Mahfuz. لا يمسه أو لا يمسه إلا مفحرون. No one will touch it. Who here refers back to Allah Mahfuz or Kitab al-Makmun? No one touches it except the purified, meaning the angels. In any case, here it is also mentioned يعني, that the Quran is a recital and it is protected and preserved in Allah Mahfuz. Then Imam Ibn Qudamah rahimahullah goes on to show that the Quran also consists of letters, that it is actually letters, huruf, that are written. And he mentions a number of proofs, and there are many, many more than what he mentions here from Surah Maryam, chapter 19, verse 1. Kaf, Ha, Ya, Ain, Saad. These letters, which came in the beginning of a number of surahs of the Quran, are letters, and are not complete words, but are separate letters. And they are part of the Quran, which is a clear proof that the Quran consists not only of chapters and verses and words, but also it consists of individual letters. Also from Surah Ash-Shura, chapter 42, verse 1, Hameen, Ayn, Seen, Qaf. These also are those letters, Al-Huruf, Al-Muqatta'a, those letters which sometimes open or commence chapters of the Quran. And here the Shaykh, or the Imam Ibn Qudama, says that such letters as Hameen, Alif, Lam, Mim, and so on, these letters begin 29 chapters of the Quran, such letters. And this is a proof that the Quran consists of letters. In point number 33, Imam Ibn Qudamah rahimahullah mentions the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من قرأ القرآن فأعربه فله بكل حرف منه عشر حسنات. That whoever reads the Quran and pronounces it clearly and properly, then he will have for every letter that he reads of it 10 حسنات, 10 good deeds for every letter. وَمَنْ قَرَأَهُ وَلَحَنَ فِيهِ فَلَهُ بِكُلِّ حَرْفٍ حَسَنًا. And whoever reads the Quran but لَحَنَ فِيهِ يعني distorts it or يعني errs in the recitation or in the pronunciation of the Quran, then he will still receive the reward of one good deed for every letter. However, this hadith is not authentic, it is not sahih. It is narrated in the Al-Awsat of Al-Imam al-Tabarani, but that hadith has been declared by many of the scholars as being very, very weak. In any case, we have also included here another hadith whose meaning is very similar. The meaning is very similar, and that hadith is sahih, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه عليكم السلام عليكم, in which he reported that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, من قرأ حرفا من كتاب الله فله به حسنة. That whoever reads a letter from the book of Allah, then he will have a hasana, or a good deed written or recorded or given to his credit. والحسنة بعشر أمثالها. And every hasana that he gets for each letter, it will be equal or will be multiplied to 10 hasana, or 10 good deeds similar to that one. So that whoever reads one letter will get a hasana, and that hasana that he will get, the record or the credit of one good deed would actually be multiplied or equal to 10 good deeds similar to that one. ولا أقول ألف لام ميم حرف ولكن ألف حرف ولام حرف وميم حرف. And here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and I don't mean that ألف لام ميم or any word in the Quran that consists of letters, that word is a letter. He means that every single letter in every word, it counts as a separate letter, and it is given credit for a hasana which is equal to 10 hasanat. يعني for every letter you will get the reward of 10 good deeds. And this is recorded in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi, and it was declared to be sahih by Shaykh al-Albani in his checking of Al-Jami al-Saghir and Al-Mishkad al-Masabih. Then the Shaykh mentions, or Al-Imam Ibn Qudamah mentions in point number 34, وَقَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. And he, that is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, اقرأوا القرآن. Read the Quran. This is the command. اقرأوا القرآن. Read the Quran. قبل أن يأتي قوم يقيمون حروفها أو حروفه إقامة السهم. Read the Quran before the coming of a people who would straighten the letters of the Quran like the straightening of an arrow. يعني they would read the Quran with much emphasis on the pronunciation, emphasis on pronunciation of the letters, in the same way that a person when straightening an arrow, or as they used to do in those days, they used to give a lot of care to the straightening of the arrow that they were going to use for hunting or for war. So also there is going to come a people who would recite the Quran with great emphasis in recitation. Great emphasis in recitation. And we found today that there are those reciters who don't practice anything of the Quran, but they are the most beautiful of reciters. They give great emphasis to recitation, as for the implementation is absent. Here the Prophet ﷺ made clear what he meant by this. He said those who would make straight the letters of Quran like the straightening of an arrow, لا يجاوزوا تراقيهم. يعني their recitation wouldn't go beyond the throat. يعني it would just be mere recitation. It is just words that they are pronouncing, but as for practicing it, it is not there. يَتَعَجَّلُونَ أَجْرَهُ وَلَا يَتَأَجَّلُونَهُ يعني that they would hasten to get its reward, meaning in this world, the reward for the recitation. Some of them are taking big salaries in order to recite Quran at funerals and other acts of innovation. They would hasten to take the reward for the recitation, but they would not leave anything for the future, in the hereafter. There will be no reward for them in the next life. Because the Quran is meant to be recited as a guidance, as a warning, as a reminder. Most importantly, it is meant to be implemented in our lives. It is not just meant to be recited for the pleasure and enjoyment of the people, but it is meant to be recited as a guidance and a warning and an inspiration and that which should be implemented in our lives. Then Al-Imam Ibn Qudamah mentions in point number 35, وَقَالَ أَبُو بَكْرُ وَعُمَرْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا. May Allah be pleased with both of them. إعراب القرآن أحب إلينا من حفظ بعض حروفه. That إعراب of the Quran, properly pronouncing the Quran, is more beloved to us than memorizing some of its letters. And this statement is also considered by the scholars of hadith to be weak. It is daif. And the point number 36, وقال علي رضي الله عنه من كفر بحرف منه, whoever disbelieved in even one letter from the Quran, من كفر بحرف منه فقد كفر به كله. And that person has disbelieved in the whole of it. Whoever disbelieves in one letter of the Quran, they have disbelieved in the whole of the Quran. And this is a proof that the letters of the Quran, that the Quran is letters, and every letter of it must be believed in. Then he says in point, and this statement is sahih, it is an authentic statement of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. In point number 37, Al-Imam Ibn Qudamah says, اتفق المسلمون على عد صور القرآن وآياته وكلماته وحروفه. That the Muslims are in agreement upon the number of chapters of Quran, its verses, its words, and its letters. And even though we might find that some of the scholars have differed concerning the number of ayats in the Quran or number of words or letters in the Quran, it is due to technical reasons, not due to there being anything added or taken from the Quran, but sometimes some ayats were broke up into two ayats where others read it as one ayat. But there is nothing added to the Quran, and this is the meaning of what Al-Imam Ibn Qudamah is saying here, that nothing has been added to it or taken from it. Yani the number of verses and chapters and words and letters of the Quran are agreed upon, meaning that nothing has been added to it, nor has anything been taken from it. The last point, Al-Imam Ibn Qudamah mentions point number 38, وَلَا خِلَافْ بَيْنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فِي أَنَّ مَنْ جَهَدَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ سُورَةً أَوْ آيَةً أَوْ كَلِمَةً أَوْ حَرْفًا مُتَّفَقًا عَلَيْهِ أَنْهُ كَافِرٌ وَفِي هَذَا حُجَّةٌ قَاطِعَةٌ عَلَى أَنَّهُ حُرُوفٌ. That there is no difference of opinion amongst the Muslims that whoever denies or rejects from the Quran one chapter, one verse, one word, or even one letter, whoever denies even one letter of the Quran, it is agreed upon amongst the Muslims that that person is a disbeliever. And this is a conclusive and final proof of the fact that the Quran not only consists of chapters and verses and words, but also consists of letters. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen mentions in his commentary concerning these points, number one, al-Qur'an huruf wa kalimat, that the Qur'an consists of letters and words. The Qur'an consists of letters and words, as has been mentioned by the author, that is Al-Imam ibn Qudamah rahimahullah, and here he has mentioned eight proofs of that. In point number 28, he mentioned that the disbelievers said that it was shi'r or poetry, and it is not permissible or possible to describe it as being poetry, except that it must have been in the form that poetry came in, yani including letters and words. In point number 29, he mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenged those who denied the Qur'an, who rejected or disbelieved in it. He challenged them to bring or to produce something similar to it, even one surah similar to it. And if it didn't consist of letters and words, then how could he have made a challenge to them to bring something similar to it? Number 3, in point number 30, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us that the Qur'an is recited. It was recited to the people, and this is mentioned in Surah Yunus, as we mentioned in chapter 10, verse 15, وَإِذَا تُتْلَ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُنَا بَيِّنَاتٍ, that when our clear verses are recited to them, those who have no hope in the meaning of Allah said, bring a Qur'an other than this, or replace it, or bring a replacement for it. And nothing is recited except that it consists of letters and words. In point number 30, of knowledge. And that it is written in the Lawh al-Mahfuz, and that it is written in the preserved tablet that is above the heavens with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, the Lawh al-Mahfuz from which all of the revelations that was sent to the prophets, including the Injil or Gospel that was sent to Isa, Jesus, peace be upon him, or the Torah that was revealed to Musa, Moses, alayhi salam, or the Suhufi, Ibrahim, the scriptures that were revealed to Ibrahim, and so on. All of the scriptures that were revealed to the prophets and messengers, they were contained in Allah al-Mahfuz. And here the Shaykh mentions the ayah in Surah Al-Ankabut, chapter 29, verse 49, that بَلْ هُوَ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ فِي صُدُورِ الَّذِينَ أُوتُ الْعِلْمِ, that it is clear, decisive verses in the hearts of those who have knowledge. And the other ayah in Surah Al-Waqiyah, chapter 56, 77 and 79. But he says that nothing is memorized or written except that it must contain letters and words. This is also proof of the Qur'an contains letters and words. The fact that it is preserved, that it is memorized, and that it is written is a proof that it consists of letters and words. In point number 33, he mentioned the saying of the Prophet yani that the reward for those who recite the Qur'an, yani the reward for reciting even one letter, they will get 10 rewards. And in point number 35, the saying of Abu Bakr and Umar, that whoever makes i'rab of the Qur'an, or making i'rab of the Qur'an, pronouncing it properly, it is more beloved to us than memorizing some of its letters. But we said that statement is not authentically related to Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, but a proof that is similar to them is in point number 36, the statement of Ali radiallahu anhu, that whoever disbelieved in one letter of the Qur'an, they have disbelieved in the whole of it, which is a proof that the Qur'an consists of letters. And point number 38, the final point, the Shaykh says that there is ijma' or consensus of the Muslims, as has been narrated by Al-Imam Ibn Qudamah rahimahullah, that whoever denies or rejects one chapter, one verse, one word or one letter of the Qur'an, it is agreed upon that that person is a disbeliever. Then he says that the chapters of the Qur'an are 114, and from amongst them are 29, which commence or begin with those individual letters, al-huruf and muqatta'. Then the Shaykh says, awsaf al-Qur'an. Also contained in these points is a number of descriptions of the Qur'an, and from amongst those descriptions he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described the Qur'an, the noble Qur'an, with many great descriptions. The author, Al-Imam Ibn Qudam rahimahullah, has mentioned the following. In point number 26, he mentioned that the Qur'an is Kitabullah al-Mubin. It is the clear book of Allah. That means that it explains clearly, or it brings out clearly the ahkam, the laws and rules which are contained in it, which Allah revealed, as well as the news or information of the previous nations and of future events. Kitabullah al-Mubin, it means that whatever is in it of rules and regulations and information is clear. And point number 26, he described it as إِنَّهُ حَبْدُ اللَّهِ الْمَقِينِ. It is the strong rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means that it is something that is very strong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it as something that we can hold on to. It is something, a reason or a cause or a means that we can hold on to in order to reach Him and to receive the success and the honor that He has for those who obey Him. Yani the Qur'an is that which we can grab onto and hold it as a strong rope in order to reach our destination, that is the success and the honor which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala offers in His paradise for those who believe and obey Him. In point number 27, he mentioned that it is Surah Muhkamat, that it contains clear and decisive chapters. That is, those chapters which are clear. Some of those chapters, yani, they are individual chapters being separated from others. Yani, they are chapters, each chapter is separate, yani, independent in and of itself. And also, it is clear and decisive in the information that it has brought. And that it has no defects or shortcoming in it. Number 4, he says in point number 27, the Qur'an has been described as ayat, bayinat, clear verses. That means that they are obvious signs. In the verses of Qur'an, there are obvious signs, hints and proofs of the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah is unique and alone in His right to be worshipped, and that He is unique and alone in His perfect names and characteristics. The perfection of His characteristics and also the goodness of His laws is clearly indicated in the ayat of the Qur'an. Number 5, the Qur'an has also been described as muhkam and mutashabih. That is, the muhkam are those things, those verses whose meaning is very, very clear. It doesn't have the possibility of being understood in more than one way. There is no doubt about it. They are clear and decisive verses, while there are other verses, mutashabih, those whose meaning is not so obvious. Perhaps many of the people cannot detect this meaning, but the people of knowledge, the scholars whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it for them to do so, are able to understand it. And also, the meaning of mutashabiha is that it is possible that there are verses in the Qur'an which have more than one possible meaning. And point number 6, or the sixth description of the Qur'an, is in point number 27. إِنَّهُ حَقٌ لَا يُمْكِنْ أَنْ يَأْتِي الْبَاطِلُ مِنْ أَيِّ جِهَةٍ. Yani that the Qur'an is al-haq, it is the truth, and it is not possible that any falsehood may reach it or overcome it from any direction. And this is mentioned in Surah Al-Fussilat, chapter 41, verse 42, that no falsehood can reach it from in front of it or behind it. It is a revelation from Hakim, the wise, Hamid, praiseworthy. The seventh description is that which is mentioned in point number 28, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free of those disbelievers who describe His Qur'an or His speech as poetry. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, as the author mentioned in Surah Yasin, chapter 36:69, that we haven't taught Him, that we haven't taught Him, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, poetry, and it is not fitting for Him that He be taught so, but verily this Qur'an, it is a reminder and a Qur'an mubin, a clear recitation. And also the other verses in Surah Al-Mudassir, chapter 74, verse 24, 25, and 26, that this is, إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا سِحْرٌ يُؤْثَرُ. That they said, this is no more than magic, which has an effect. إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا قَوْلٌ بَشَرٌ. That this is no more than the speech of a human. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala threatened them with His saying, لَأُسْلِيهِ صَفَرٌ, that He will cause them to enter the hellfire. And the last and final description that Imam Ibn Qudama mentions for the Qur'an is in point number 27 that it is marjiz, yani it is the Quran, the speech of Allah has a miraculous nature, yani it cannot be duplicated. It is not possible for anyone to produce the like of it, even if they sought help, all of the creatures, human and jinn, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Isra, chapter 17, verse 88, that if they had all come together, human and jinn, to produce the likeness of this Qur'an, they would never be able to produce it, even if some of them helped others. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. This is the end of this chapter. If there are any comments or questions or corrections, we may take them now in the time that is remaining. Naam. Point number 29. Jazakallah khair. It is Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2 verse 23. Now, and this is my mistaken reading because it's written here in Arabic and English 23. Subhanallah. Refreshing. Jazakallah khair. Any comments or any questions concerning this topic? Perhaps we will now, in the next coming lectures, we will go to some other topics. As I think this is the end of what Al-Imam Ibn Qudama wanted to discuss concerning the Tawheed of Asma wa Sifat. Naam. No. Oh, there are some questions with this handout, isn't it? No, we should look at those questions. The first question mentions some of the descriptions with which Imam Ibn Qudama, rahimahullah, has described in the Quran. What are some of the descriptions? We just mentioned 8 of them. It is in Arabic language. Clear book. The clear book of Allah. The rope, the strong rope of Allah. Straight path. There's a revelation from Hakim, Hamid. Kitab al-Mubin. And it consists of ayats. Words, letters, it came from Allah, returned to Him, and so on. Is the Quran created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Explain. Naam, the Quran is not created by Allah. It is a characteristic of Allah. It is the speech of the Quran, of Allah. The Quran is the kalam Allah, ghayr makhluq. It is the speech of Allah, and it is not created. No characteristic of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is created. What is the Allawh al-Mahfuz? The preserved tablet. It's its translation perhaps. But what is it? Tayyib. It is where the Quran originated from. What else? Huh? Tayyib. Only the angels may touch it. And also the other revelations, all of the revelations that were revealed to the prophets are from Allah Mahfuz. It is that preserved tablet in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote the decrees of everything that would happen from the beginning of the creation until the end. What is the reward one receives for recitation of the Quran? Huh? Ten hasanat. Naam. For every letter, naam, there is a reward hasana, and that hasana is equal to 10 hasana, so there is a reward, yani 10 good deeds for each letter that one recites. What is the judgment of someone who denies even one word of the Quran? Kufr. The one who denies even one word of the Quran is a kafir. And this is very important for us to keep in mind. This is not just a legal ruling, but also we should know that the Quran is the speech of Allah. It is the book of Allah. It is the perfect guidance. It is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it has no imperfection or shortcoming in it. Whoever denies one word of it, that means they are saying that the Quran is imperfect. Whoever rejects one word of it, then they are rejecting something that came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To reject or to disbelieve even one word of the Quran is to reject the whole of the Quran, and therefore that person is declared to be a disbeliever. If someone doesn't understand something in the Quran, then they shouldn't deny what they don't understand, but they should ask those who know. فَاسْأَلُوا أَحْلُ الذِّكْرَ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. If you don't know, ask the people who know. Don't deny something because you don't understand it. Because the intellect cannot understand it, we shouldn't deny it. But we should ask those who know. If it appears to be contradictory, there's no contradiction in the Quran. If it was from other than Allah, you would have found many contradictions. But there's no contradiction in the Quran. If ever we read something in the Quran that appears to be a contradiction, then we should ask the people of knowledge so that they will clarify it for us, so that we don't fall into the position or the condition of denying one word of the Quran, or one verse of the Quran, or one letter of the Quran, which is an act of disbelief. Any final comments or questions before we leave? Tayyib. Yes, Fadlan. Without performing ablution, can we read the Quran? I think we discussed this in detail before, a long time ago. We will say that the majority of the scholars held the opinion that a person should be in a state of Tahara to touch the Quran, not to recite the Quran. And therefore, if a person wants to touch the Quran, it is preferable that they should be in a state of Tahara, either by making wudu or ghusl, according to their condition. The person who is in a major state of impurity, for example, the one who has sex relations with their spouse, they have to make a ghusl to be in a state of Tahara. The one who invalidated their wudu by urinating or defecating or passing wind, they have to make wudu in order to re-enter the state of Tahara. According to the opinion of the majority, the person should make a ghusl or wudu in order to enter the state of Tahara before touching the Qur'an. As for recitation of the Qur'an, it's preferable, it's commendable also that to recite the Qur'an you should be in the state of Tahara, but it's not mandatory. And in fact, actually, if we have the time to research this issue in detail, we'll find that the more correct opinion that's based on evidence and more authentic proof is that it's not required to be in the state of Tahara to read the Qur'an or to touch the Mus'haf. Even though it is the minority opinion, but it is the more correct opinion, and the evidence supports. And the evidence of those who say you have to be in the state of Tahara are either one of two types. It is either an ayah of the Quran, as the ayah that we mentioned, which is not clearly referring to what they claim it is referring to. They said that no one will touch it. إِلَّا الْمُطَهَّرُونَ. They said it means the Mus'haf, but actually it's referring to اللَّهُ مَحْفُوظ. It is either of this type of evidence that it is authentic, but it is not clearly referring to what they are saying. Or it is a hadith which likewise might be authentic, but not clear. Or a hadith which might be clear, but not authentic. There are some hadith which clearly indicate that no one may touch the Quran except they are in the state of Tahara, but they are not authentic. There is no authentic hadith saying so. The hadith that they have used to prove, they are all weak. So either there is a proof which is sahih. It is authentic, but not sorry. It is not clear, clearly indicating the point that they are saying that you have to be in a state of Tahara to touch the Quran. Or it is sarih, clear, but not sahih, not authentic. So the more correct opinion, and Allah knows best, is that it's not really a requirement to be in a state of Tahara, but in any case, it is the majority opinion, and it is preferable, out of respect of the Quran, that a person should be in a state of Tahara as long as they are capable and able to do so. If they are not able to do so, and they want to read the Quran, inshallah, there is no harm in doing so. And Allah knows best.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.